Hi, I'm Tony Alessandra, and welcome to People IQ, where we focus on applying the Platinum Rule in your business and personal life. The most important step toward raising your People IQ and practicing the Platinum Rule is to adapt your behavior to treat others the way they want and need to be treated. Today, we're talking about developing your charisma. I've been studying, teaching, and writing about human behavior, especially in business, for more than 30 years now. As a result, probably like you, I know charisma when I see it, even if it's sometimes hard to pinpoint. Charisma is what makes people like you and enjoy being around you, even when they don't know much about you. This personal magnetism can exist at the level of mass movements, such as politicians and evangelists, or in the small-scale encounters of everyday life, such as the shop owner who really makes you feel so comfortable and valuable that you cheerfully drive a few extra miles just to see her at her store. I'm convinced that, contrary to popular wisdom, charisma is not something that you're born with, like having blue eyes or brown eyes. Instead, I think our personalities consist of, let's say, a series of containers, like cups or glasses. Some nearly empty, some brimming full, yet others partially filled to varying degrees. Together, they constitute our potential charisma. If all the glasses were filled to the top, you'd be so charismatic, people would think that you were a god, and you'd probably think so too. But nobody has a complete set of totally full glasses. Although some really gifted people like JFK or Winston Churchill or the late Princess Di may have come close to this ideal. But for most of us, the glasses are filled a bit erratically, though we can actually add to them. Here, as I see them, are the seven main components, or the glasses, of charisma. Your silent messages. You consciously send out signals to others. Maybe you look them right in the eye, or maybe you stare at your shoes when you talk. Perhaps you slump your shoulders, or maybe you square them confidently. You may fail to smile naturally or shake hands firmly, or you might dress in a way that's not you. All these shape your image and affect the people that you want to influence. Next is your persuasive talent. No idea, however great, ever gets anywhere until it's adopted. Charismatic executives can distill complex ideas into simple messages so that even the guy who sweeps the floor understands what the company stands for and why that's important. Next is your ability to speak well. You may have a zillion terrific ideas, but who will know if you cannot articulate them? Next is your listening skill. Rarely taught and infrequently practiced, listening is nonetheless a key to communicating and making others feel special in your presence. Next is your use of space and time. Again, though it's often overlooked, your use of space and time can make or break relationships. Next is your ability to adapt to others. Building rapport means understanding other people's behavioral styles and then adapting your own behavior to increase your compatibility. Next is your vision and ideas. Regardless of how strong and persuasive a speaker you are, how adept you are at connecting with others, how well you listen, how well you use your space and time or send out silent messages, you've still got to have something to say, or else you'll just be an empty suit. So it's not a single ingredient that makes a person charismatic. And more important, charisma isn't based on IQ, genetics, social position, wealth, or luck. Instead, it can be learned. Learning to improve your charisma is more important than ever. Why? You'll find out after we come back. Welcome back to People IQ. I'm Tony Alessandra. Now, developing your charisma is our topic today. Learning to improve your charisma is vitally important. Change calls for strong, mesmerizing leaders. In our age of startups, acquisitions, turnarounds, mergers, demergers, new regulatory climates, and all other sorts of rapid, unpredictable change, that's truer than ever. Our expectations have risen. We've come to demand more from people than mere competence. When even the local car dealer or supermarket manager can be seen as articulate, personable, and persuasive in a slick TV ad, we no longer readily accept those who squirm, stumble over words, and don't quite look us in the eye. The old-fashioned kind of hierarchy, the command and control environment, is passé. Even the highest-ranking officials need more than their title to get people to buy into their ideas. Instead, in this era of empowerment, when empathy and support are revered, charismatic people stand out because they are communicators who are able to see things from another person's perspective and thus continually seek to find common ground. Those with personal magnetism or charisma are usually self-confident optimists, viewing almost all problems as solvable, focusing on desired results rather than possible failures, helps encourage people to step forward and convert fear into challenge. All of these are reasons for you to try to greatly improve your charisma. Even if you never get a chance to head a corporation or spearhead a movement or even hold office in the local PTA, you can use your charisma, present or future, to do good for yourself and others, to make for positive change in ways large and small. A person who develops charisma is likely to do well in all aspects of life. That's because on several different levels, they connect better with people. By definition, the charismatic person is more other-directed, more empathic. That gives them more personal power, and that's a big plus for anybody. As you seek to improve your charisma and personal power, remember that when people feel someone is making them do something, they're often frustrated and resentful. And as a result, they dig in their heels. The truly charismatic person strives to create feelings of collaboration and equality. They approach others interactively and try to give them a choice. So if you give your people some control over resources and influence over how to do a task, you'll help them build self-confidence. Here are 13 powerful suggestions to help you jumpstart your charisma. First, a winning image starts with a good self-image. A good self-image doesn't follow success, it precedes it. As Robert Shook says in his book, Winning Images, someone saddled with a poor self-image may fool some of the people some of the time, but eventually that person will fail unless he comes to grips with his basic self-image. Many of us carry around an image that doesn't really jibe with the facts. You could be holding a negative self-image that you subtly communicate to everyone you meet. If you feel that you're too tall or overweight or unattractive in some way, you'll lack confidence and others will catch on. Or it's possible that you could have an overly positive image of yourself. You may think you look terrific when in fact you're a sloppy dresser who's maybe 20 pounds plus overweight and badly in need of a haircut or a makeover. In either case, analyze yourself and perhaps get those closest to you to analyze you. That's what's needed because your image is important and you can do something about it. To find out how others see you, get some photographs or videotapes taken of yourself when you feel you're looking your best. What do you see that you like? What do you see that you don't like? Now stay tuned because when we come back, I'll share more insights to developing your charisma. Welcome back. Having a good self-image is the start of developing your charisma. To jumpstart your charisma, you need to make your wardrobe work for you. Often we acquire our clothes haphazardly, a sale item or an impulse buy here, a Christmas gift there, without much thought as to how they fit our image or even if they match each other. In fact, you've probably seen folks who've expanded their wardrobe only to hobble themselves by wearing a plaid shirt with a striped tie, or to go overboard with jewelry that clatters and clangs when they walk. So make sure that your colors, patterns, and accessories are complementary, not clashing. Most of us have at least one or two outfits that make us feel especially good when we're wearing them. We tend to save those for special occasions. But why not try to increase that number to three or four or more such outfits and try to make a particularly good impression every single day? If you're vague about what constitutes a good impression or what looks best on you, consult a wardrobe consultant. They often spot things that you'd probably not know that you look good in. You probably wouldn't even consider trying on. A wardrobe consultant may sound like a costly luxury, but many times their advice is free if you buy clothes from them. And some will even shop for you at an hourly rate, which can save a lot of time. Combine that time savings with greater selection and the likelihood of a superb fit, and it may all add up to a terrific value. Next, seek winners, spurn losers. See, attitudes are contagious. So nurture your emotional well-being by choosing friends who genuinely want you to succeed and who encourage you. Read some inspirational and motivational books, or listen to happy music, or make it a point to go to funny movies or watch a TV sitcom that makes you laugh. Consciously reduce your exposure to the negative, whether it's gossip from coworkers, violence in the media, or pessimism in your own thoughts. Next, don't just say it, do it. Words, while important, are cheap. Credibility is gained by backing up those words with action, especially if you're in a leadership position. You have to be very aware that you set the style, both in appearance and integrity. Cultivate a do as I do, not a do as I say philosophy. You can show your sincerity by practicing what you preach on a daily basis. Next, make fitness a lifestyle, not a chore. You don't need an expensive club membership or a cross-country ski machine to maintain a body that exudes vitality. Here's five simple things that you can do. Walk up and down the stairs to your high-rise office or apartment. Ride a bike to the neighborhood convenience store to pick up that quart of non-fat milk. Skip the cart and get some real exercise while golfing. Take a nature hike instead of watching a nature film on TV. Do you have a friend that you meet with regularly to kind of shoot the breeze? Get in your chat while walking around the neighborhood instead of over a cup of coffee or a beer. You'll both be much better off. Next, listen. I mean, really listen to one person for one day. Choose one person that you could relate to better. Commit to listening to them, not just hearing them, for one day. After each meeting, ask yourself, did I really make an effort to go beyond superficialities? Did I observe verbal, vocal, and visual clues that they were sending me? Did I note what was not being said, as well as what was being said? Once you've gotten into this habit of nudging yourself to listen better, extend this exercise to successive days, then to other people as well. Listening well is a gift that you can give to others. It'll cost you nothing, but it may be invaluable to them. Next, shift your focus to others. There's an old story of a young lady who was taken to dinner one evening by William Gladstone and then the next evening by Benjamin Disraeli, both eminent British statesmen in the late 19th century. When I left the dining room after sitting next to Mr. Gladstone, I thought he was the cleverest man in England, she said. But after sitting next to Mr. Disraeli, I thought I was the cleverest woman in England. See, Disraeli obviously had a knack for making the other person the center of his universe, if only for that evening. See, if you practice attentiveness to others, you'll find it does wonders for both of you. They'll enjoy it, so will you. Start training your mind not to focus automatically on what separates you from the other person. Rather, figure out what unites you and how you can build upon that base. Soon, such empathy will become a habit, a very good habit. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on how to develop your charisma. Welcome back to People IQ. Developing your charisma. What does it take? Let's continue on how to be that charismatic person everyone admires. So the next tip in jumpstarting your charisma is to be quick to compliment others. This is an ancient art fallen into disuse. A really good, honest compliment shows that you appreciate another person. There's no shortage of critics, but there's a dearth of people who say nice things when they genuinely feel them. Feedback, says Ken Blanchard, co-author of The 1 Minute Manager and other motivational books, is the breakfast of champions. People want and need to know how they're doing. Next tip, train yourself to remember other people's names. The sweetest sound, it said, is that of your own name being spoken. Yet names of strangers tend to flit through most of our heads with lightning-like speed. Roger Dawson, in his book 13 Secrets to Power Persuasion, gives numerous techniques for overcoming this problem. One of the best is when you shake hands with a new person, note the color of his or her eyes. That forces you to make eye contact, and after a while, will also send a signal to your brain to store that person's name in your short-term memory. Use the person's name soon afterwards, and you'll actually have a lock on it. Try it. Next, hone your sense of humor. While being wheeled into the operating room after being shot by a would-be assassin, the ever-persuasive, the ever-charismatic President Ronald Reagan got a chuckle when he wisecracked, "I hope the doctor is a Republican." We may not all be so cool in a crisis, but when we can all profit by not taking ourselves too seriously. If humor hasn't previously been one of your strengths, proceed slowly. It's better to use humor sparingly than to be remembered as a buffoon or insensitive. Next tip, practice being a better questioner. Most of us get sloppy when asking questions. Perhaps an acquaintance has just told us of a bizarre or difficult occurrence, and we reply robotically, "Isn't that something?" Yes, it obviously was something, and something important, or this person wouldn't have told us about it. It would be better to follow up by asking, "Have you ever experienced anything like that before?" Or maybe even, "I wonder what lessons that we can take from that." Then you'd have the basis for building conversation and rapport, making you both feel better. Next tip, stay in the here and now. One of life's hardest lessons is that you can only affect the future by staying in the present. If you let your mind wander into the past and what might have been, or into the future and what problems could await you there, you'll likely lose your way. Avoiding these extremes is what athletes call the zone. They're not obsessing about last week's defeat or thinking ahead to how powerful next week's opponent is. Instead, they're fully engrossed in the process of doing the best they can right now. And finally, lucky number 13, just do it. The best way to predict your future, said management guru Peter Drucker, is to create it. It's so in every field of endeavor. Writers must sit down and write. Salespeople must sell. Managers must manage, and painters must paint. Too often, though, people are locked into habits that prevent them from moving ahead. They relive yesterdays. They invent excuses. They procrastinate. They doodle in the margins of life's tablet instead of seeking to write their signature boldly. So don't give up on your dreams, but instead pursue them with passion. So, with that final suggestion, I ask you, what will you do today to develop and enhance your charisma? The potential to be charismatic is within you, and the payoff for doing so has never been higher. Good luck.